Go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 11. We've been teaching on basically dominion and how God originally gave man dominion in much the same manner that he himself operates in dominion. We can see from Genesis 1 how God does it. You know, God is one, but God is three. You meditate on that too much, your brain starts leaking out your left ear, but we know it's the truth. And we can tell from Genesis 1 how God does things. God the Father conceives everything. He wanted light. The Holy Spirit, we're told, was already hovering over the earth, but the earth was void and without form, and darkness covered the face of the deep. God the Father wants light. Now the three members of the Godhead are co-equal. They're not like stair-step down. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all three co-equal. So the Holy Spirit is all-knowing, just like God the Father is all-knowing. So if God the Father wants light, and we see the Holy Spirit brooding over the face of the deep, and we know He has the ability to make light, and He knows the Father wants light, what in the world is preventing Him from operating? What's causing Him not to go into action? Well, He's waiting for something. And the way that the Godhead set up dominion, He's waiting for the spoken word. In the King James, it says, "Let there be light." We know the second member of the Godhead, the pre-incarnate Christ, He is called the Word. Remember in John's Gospel, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So before He was flesh, He always pre-existed. He's co-equal with God the Father. But He is the Word. So God the Father conceives. In other words, He knows what He wants. How's that? He knows what He wants. The Word speaks everything. The Holy Spirit performs everything. But He was waiting for those words, and in the King James it says, "Let there be light." But the Hebrew is more precise, where it says, "Light be," and instantly the Holy Spirit moved, and light was. I want my answers to prayer like that. Amen? He's trying to move us into that kind of dominion. Well, over the years, the Lord has taught me a lot about the speaking part. And how, you know, I told you the hardest thing that I've ever found, and I've been at this over 25 years now, the hardest thing to get people to do, I mean, you can get them to go to church, you can get them to give into the kingdom, you can get them to be nicer to each other, you can get them to do a lot of things. The hardest thing I've found to get people to do, call those things that be not as though they were, on a consistent basis, not just in church, not just at calling in the lost. Okay, so I've taught a lot on the speaking part, and Sue and I, we've had miracles based on just that foundation of knowledge, you know. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea," shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. We've taught a lot on that, and it's still yet, you can't get most people to do it when they're facing their mountain. People like to hear about it. We like to sing about it. You know, but when their mountain comes, they usually start talking to God about the mountain. They'll start talking to you about the mountain. They begin comparing the size of their mountain with the size of your mountain. You know. But hardly anybody will talk to the mountain. Hardly anybody will actually do that. Talk directly to the mountain. But here in these recent... But we've got a ton of teaching on that, and you know we do. At the website. Here lately, though, he's been focusing on the other half of dominion, and that is hope. Because we know from Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. Over these years, we've seen many miracles of different kinds, but one of the things that always discouraged me, especially there was one really good friend of mine that I knew for over 20 years, he developed cancer. And he was a Christian, he just loved God forever. But it wasn't exactly according to knowledge in a lot of ways. You know, it was kind of, well, if God wants to heal me, He'll heal me kind of guy. Well, I kept trying to get him over into at least calling those things that be not as though they were. I kept explaining these things to him. I finally got him to say it some, you know. I don't know what he said when I wasn't there. See, that's the problem. But he died. And I couldn't understand that. I mean, that really broke my heart. He's a really good friend of mine. And then so later on, God began teaching me about hope and says, look, you can get them saying the right things, but confession is only half of the dominion process. if they don't really have an image on the inside that they are going to get better, and let me say it just real plain, even though they're saying, by His stripes I'm healed, but on the inside they're still seeing themselves in a coffin and making arrangements for that, they're not in hope yet. They're not in what God calls hope. They're more of like a hoping and a praying. A hoping and a praying. It's a wish. They'd like to be healed. That's not going to get it done. Hope, faith, is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. That hope, I did a series many years ago called The God of Hope. And it was based on a face-to-face encounter I had with the Holy Spirit. That's all of that written part is at my website under the face-to-face section called The God of Hope. If you want to go read it. One of the things he said in there, he said, hope can't be vague, can't be like a dream. It's got to be like a solid image on the inside of you that is more real than the circumstances around you. It's got to be like you can touch it, you can taste it. It's got to happen on the inside before it ever happens on the outside. And faith gives material substance to that kind of hope that at that moment only exists in your spirit or in the realm where you see. I guess that'd be partly the soul realm, in the part of us where we see on the inside. If it's real on the inside, it'll become real on the outside. Is that plain enough? Whew. So in the course of that, we've been teaching here lately on the seeing part. We've given some practical helps, And again, this whole thing has to do with the kingdom of God. God's dominion was never given so Adam could build his empire. When Adam was first created, he was in perfect fellowship with God. Whatever God wanted, Adam knew it. They flowed together. There was no separation between God and man. And Adam was really put here as God's agent to bring God's kingdom to whatever God wanted on earth. And he told the Holy Spirit to let them have dominion. Well, what that means? In what way? Well, the same way God has dominion. Adam would see what the Father wanted. See, get this. We tend to think that Adam toiled in the garden because God put him in the garden before the fall. Wait a minute. After the fall came the sweat of the brow. See, you're just assuming that he did it the same way we do it. By the sweat of his brow and hoeing. And what was he hoeing out of there anyway? There wasn't any thorns yet. Okay, you see what I'm saying? That whole operation was different than we think it was. He had dominion in much the same way the Father had dominion. The Father would see it. Adam would know it. Adam would say it. The Holy Spirit would do it. It's a co-laboring on the earth with the Holy Spirit. Jesus operated exactly that way. He says, I can't do anything of myself. What I see my Father doing, the Son does likewise. And then what did you see Him do? He'd walk up to somebody that's demon-possessed. What would He do? Would He go over there and try and physically wrestle the demon out of the person? No, He knows what the Father wants. The Father wants the person free. What would He do? He'd speak, come out! In my name, I guess. Come out! In the Father's name. And what? Then He says, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then in another place, by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the finger of God. He is the hand of God. He is the molecule changer. He is the one that causes this stuff to happen. All right, so we've been teaching along that line. Now, what is God's plan for this church in this city? The overall plan, Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Tulsa is in revival. Our assignment here is to go far enough into God to bring out the supernatural and have a supernatural revival in a religious city. Hallelujah. We know what our assignment is. Now, individually, we are all members. We're all part of the body of Christ. But each of us are members in particular. Amen? That means in this revival, Fred's got a part. Margo's got a part. Just like each one of our bodies has a nose and a mouth and ears and all these different functions. Well, each one of us, Mary has a part. We all have a function in this body. So what we're to do then is to seek first the kingdom. They're as much a part of the body. This one, I don't know you as well. I know this one. She's as much part of this vision as anybody that's going to this church physically. She just happens to live in Missouri right now. We got people in New Zealand, Australia, Africa, all over the world that are as much a part of this as we are. And once revival sparks out here, it's going to kindle where they are also. All right, I'm doing a lot of summary real quick. Be finding Luke 11. Because, see, in the course of this overall pursuit, we have to teach. The teaching is how you can start receiving from God. Not only, well, you need instruction. Sometimes you need instruction. The first instruction I ever got from the Holy... I hate to teach this part tonight, Lord, because I've backslid. But the first instruction I ever really received, a personal instruction, I was driving those trucks years ago, and he taught me how to lose 40 pounds. Those 40 pounds have since returned. And I think brought a few of their friends. But anyway. But he knew something I didn't know. He knew that 11 months later, the devil was going to hit me with a heart attack, which I had in December of 1994. Thank God. I mean, I barely survived it anyway. I mean, I come within a breath of leaving the planet. And I've often wondered, would I have survived it if my heart had been carrying another 40 pounds to have to take care of, see? He knew. Since then, he gave me a new heart. Hallelujah. Anyway, I have been cured of a, quote, incurable heart disease. All right. I said that to say this, though. See, you may think, I need to know my calling. And you do. But he'd be going, I need to save your life first. You know, in my case, I need to save your life first. You're not going to make it there. The devil's got a plan for you. I got to get you past this weight problem with you, Gary, first, or you're not going to survive to make it into your calling. So you see what I'm saying? So, number one, I thank God for the message of this church, learning how to pray in other tongues, to allow the Holy Spirit to begin making intercession for each of us individually. First thing He's going to do is make sure you stay alive. Second thing He's going to do is going to begin teaching you the things you're going to need for your calling. Right? And third, He's going to start knitting you together. This part is, I think this is the transition now that Dave's sensing in the Spirit today. Body doesn't function very well if the arm's laying over there, and the leg's laying over there, and the nose is back here by this, and the ear's laying over there somewhere. There's a unity, a divine unity, something that can't be done by man. You know my thumb, does it try and get along with my index finger? They just do. That's what's coming. You watch. I don't know how. That's why He's God and we're not. Okay. But now, in the course of teaching all that, you have to, if you're going to be a part of the body that you function in your part, like Dave is functioning in his part, then you have to learn how to receive from God yourself. In every way. If you get attacked with healing, you got to know, how to receive. I got about 5 messages rolling in me. Boy, that's good to get attacked with healing. Hallelujah. Attack me with healing, Lord. Hallelujah. I'll go for some of that. Attack my body with healing. I'll go for some of that. I think I smell a tape series anyway. If the devil attacks you with sickness, you need to know how to receive healing. If he attacks your finances, you need to know how to receive financially from the Lord. If he attacks your family, your children, or your spouse, or anything else, you got to know how to keep him from destroying that. You got to learn, each of us has got to learn how to receive from God. Now, here's the problem with that. In the course of learning how to receive, and He wants you to learn how to receive, it's real easy right there when you start having some success in that area. You start getting off. Well, I received one house from Him. That was good. I wonder if I can get a better house. I got one car from Him. You get a whole movement right now. Has pretty well been hijacked. It's been hijacked right there. Now it's all about who's most spiritual, how many BMWs do you drive, how many Mercedes, how big a house, and it just got sidetracked right there. Those that have to have the chandeliers, they're already gone. They're gone from here. Okay? Those that are after the chandeliers, you know what I mean by that? You know? If wrinkly old faded carpet bothers them, they're out of here. Okay? God's after something else. Now, He wants us to learn how to receive. I don't think God cares. I don't think God cares how big or nice a car you drive, as long as it's His car while you're in it. Can I say it that? This is about His kingdom. Now, I said all that to get to Luke 11. Still teaching along that line, but now the teaching that he's incorporating from the past now in my thinking with all of this, what you see and what we say and having dominion. We've got to remember we are here. This dominion works. Let me say it back up. Say it better. I heard him say, you can say it better. The Holy Spirit co-labors with God's children to produce His kingdom on earth, not ours.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy moly, that's good stuff. Hallelujah. I don't know who moly is, but he must be holy. Hallelujah. Now, Luke 11, they were asking Jesus how to pray. Now, think about this. When Jesus would go up and pray, the disciples were with him for three and a half years. He'd go up on the mountain, spend all night in prayer, you know, at times. And boy, when he'd come down, and the ministry would start, and you're sitting there. Do y'all know this? John the Baptist, when he was in prison, sent some guys to go ask Jesus if he was the one to come. They came like in a random hour, you know, just a day. John sent them. They went. They arrived at just a random hour. You know what I'm saying? And he says, "Now you go back and tell John what you've seen." When? Just that random hour or two that they were there. Mm-hmm. What did he tell them? I have to look it up, but the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, something like that. That's a normal day with Jesus. That's a normal day. He'd go pray, the blind would see, the lame would walk, the deaf would hear, birth defects, people born blind were healed, and they're going, "Can you teach us to pray like that? How can we pray like that?" And he teaches them here in Luke 11. But it's so amazing how, you know, this is a whole long thing that we've taught on before. But the end result just amazes me. Look at verse 13. He's going to teach them how to pray, all right. And he teaches all of this about how to get answered prayer. And then he finishes it up in verse 13 saying, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" And for a long time I'm thinking, that's not what they asked Him, how to get the Holy Spirit. They said, "Teach us how to pray." And then it took a long time for it to dawn on me. That stuff that they were watching, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, who is causing that? Who is the molecule changer that does that? It's the Holy Spirit. The kind of dominion we're talking about is where the Holy Spirit co-labors with you. You see, you say, but then that releases the dominion, your authority that God gave man, that releases that in Jesus' name, and the Holy Spirit performs. He does what you cannot do. Now, if we've got to keep in mind, it's that kind of dominion we're talking about. Hey, man in his own power. Just look at the drug cartels. They can build big, giant kingdoms of their own. Okay, now they do it through all of the devil's weapons. Fear, intimidation, murder, lust, everything. Man can build big, look at Hollywood with, you know, a lot of the trash that they put out. Man can build pretty big empires on his own. We're not talking about that. We're talking about God's kingdom, where the Holy Spirit actually gets involved with the God-given dominion you've been given in Christ. So that when you see and you say, it is God's kingdom coming to earth, and that releases the Holy Spirit to do what this city has never seen on a regular basis, or anybody else hardly. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when he says, teach us to pray, he goes into protocol. He goes into what makes this work. What is the Holy Spirit looking for? Alright. So, back up to verse 1 of chapter 11. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say..." What he's about to lay out here, stop for a minute, because this, especially the Lord's Prayer, is so familiar, your brain tends to shut off. Okay? Now, turn it back on. All right? Because what they're asking him, what if Jesus was standing right here and we just saw him open one guy's blind eyes, and we watched while Victoria got her healing. She says, "Hi, Mommy." And let's say Lynn Perez's boy Tommy was here, and he gets up out of his wheelchair, walks over to the mic, and begins giving his testimony. And then, you know, we just watched him heal about 10 people here in a row, and each one of them, you know, what if Erica is here, and whew, she's missing one leg. And while we watch, a new leg grows out. The maimed were made whole. At the end of that, what if we went, "Could you teach us to pray?" That's their question. We want results like that, Jesus. We've been watching what happens when you pray. We had never seen anything happen like that when anybody prays. But when you pray, stuff happens. Can you teach us to pray like that? And then he tells them, this is the protocol. This is part of seeking first the kingdom of God. This is part of what the Holy Spirit is looking for, to co-labor with us in order to bring God's kingdom to this earth. See? So it starts off, verse 2. Hallelujah. When you pray, say, "Our Father." I don't know how long it took me praying and reading and meditating the New Testament before it dawned on me the power of those two words. Those two words break through all religion that they were in. Not, "O heavenly God, O creator of the universe, thou who art holy." And there's nothing really wrong with that. But he's going, if you're going to have the results I have. What did he tell Nicodemus? Nicodemus was impressed. He said, "No man can do these things except he be sent of God. Can you? How are you doing these things?" He says, "Nicodemus, you can't even see into this kingdom. You can't even see into this kingdom until you're born again." Now see, our Father. You are in a family. He birthed you on purpose. I like to say it. Now listen. God's looking to answer your prayers. He's trying to get the answer through us more than we want Him to come through us. Amen? Our Father. Just a minute. Raise your hands. Our Father. Say, "Father." "Father, I'm learning how to pray so that the works Jesus did, I can do also. Father, Father, I love you. I worship you." All right, now you're on the right path. Now look what comes next. "Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That means holy, separate. You're declaring in that phrase, there is no God but you. That common mixture that's going on right now, this inclusion gospel, where it doesn't matter whether you're Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, or anything else, there is no other God but Him. What that's really saying is, there is no other God. All of that stuff about there's many paths to God is rubbish. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me." John said it this way. He's writing so that you may know that you have eternal life, and that life is in God's Son. "He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son hath not life." It's almost like Jane see the ball. He's getting it down so elementary that nobody can misunderstand it. "He that has the Son has life." So I don't care what they say. I don't care how many preachers. I don't care how many white collars they have. And if they call themselves bishop, apostle, or anything else. "He that has not the Son hath not life." Amen. "Hallowed be thy name, Father. There is no other God but you." And here's the priority. This is our life. Now he knows. Let's try and get the religion out for a minute. Even before I say this. He knows you got a job. Everyone say, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." He knows you got kids to feed and kids to educate and work to do, natural work to do. Today, because my wife has just been working so hard, I unloaded the dishwasher, glory to God, you know. Hallelujah. Preach the word and unload the dishwasher, glory to God, hallelujah. He knows all that. He knows we've got things that we have to do. But still yet, what is our life about? This is the priority. This is what the Holy Spirit's looking for, especially when it comes to answered prayer. That's the subject. What's the Holy Spirit looking for? He looks in your heart. Whose kingdom does he find first there? That's what he's looking for. Father, thy kingdom come. Not. And see, I try and be as transparent with you all as I know how to be. You've got to remember, I love the Word of Faith movement. The Word of Faith movement is the reason I'm here. If it hadn't been for the primary basic foundation of the Word of Faith, I would have died of cancer in 1990. So you're not going to ever move me away from the Word of Faith. But I also know I wasn't maturing under that doctrine very much. Okay? It taught me the elemental basics of faith, but I wasn't being conformed very much to the image of Christ. So they were teaching me how to receive from God, you know, like Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And I thought, man, that's my ticket. Because, hey, I can get stuff from God. I need a car. I need a house. I need this. I need that. And, you know, he answered a lot of that in those early days because I was just a baby, you know. I didn't know anything anyway. But the thing of it is, I went on for like 12 years almost like that, you know. I didn't know this part of the message, how the Holy Spirit, if you spent time with Him praying in tongues and fasting and all of the things that we learn here, I didn't know that the Holy Spirit would start conforming you, changing your priority system so that, you know, you don't spend your whole life like the Gentiles seeking after things, but you spend your life seeking after the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. All right? So, He knows that we have need of... In Matthew's account, it even says, Matthew 6, you can look it up later, he says, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things before you ask Him. But this is the priority. See, in Matthew it says, seek ye, near the end of it, Matthew 6:33, I think, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. What things? The things that the Gentiles, the unbelievers, spend their whole life, from the birth to the grave almost, seeking after. Boy, was that me before 1980. That was Gary Carpenter. My whole life, Think and Grow Rich, are you kidding? That book was my Bible. I could quote you paragraphs and tell you what page it was on. At least in my little paperback copy. Psycho-Cybernetics and a lot of those self-help books, I was all into visualizing and seeing. But was it about my kingdom? Was it about His kingdom? No. It was all about my kingdom. My attitude was, I'm going to be wealthy, I'm going to have this, I'm going to have that, I don't care what God says about it. That was before 1980. Boy, I mean, the Holy Ghost zapped that out of me real quick, you know. But anyway, well, He's saying here, if your heart priority, Father, thy kingdom come. What does that mean? Stop for a minute. I should have looked this up, but you know what's in there. It's real familiar. When Jesus sent out the 12 to all those cities and the 70 later, when He sent them out, what did He say to them? Preach. What was the message? The kingdom of God is at hand. You remember that? Now, if something is... Helena, for benefit of the tape, I walked over close to Helena. Close enough to where right now, Helena, to me, is at hand. Meaning, it's available. I can reach right out there and I can touch Helena. Shake my hand. I can touch Helena. Helena can touch me. What He's saying is, you can touch the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven can touch you.
Hallelujah.
That's what He's teaching. It's at hand. And don't just leave with the message. Demonstrate it before you go. What did He tell them? Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Now, when He says here, thy kingdom come, in Tulsa right now, do you know of anybody that's supernaturally being healed of hardly anything?
No.
No? Thank you. No. I thank God for anything healing that's being done. You know, we see a little bit, but I'm talking about on a regular basis. No, we're not seeing that where the cancers get healed. Most people have to go through chemo and radiation and all of the normal things, you know. Why? What does that tell you? God's kingdom is not at hand right now in Tulsa. They can't reach out and touch it, and the kingdom can't touch them. That's our mission, is to change that. And see, Jesus is going, when I pray, it wasn't happening before Jesus come to town or His disciples come to town either. It wasn't happening, even though Israel had a healing covenant with God. So He's going, when I pray, my motivation is, God, Your kingdom isn't being accomplished here. Look, people are dying of this, they're dying of that. When I pray, Father, my motivation is your kingdom that's, I know it's sovereign and full dominion in heaven. I pray, Father, that dominion come to earth. Your kingdom be accomplished here like it's already being done there. There's no cancer in heaven. See? No birth defects in heaven. All right? So when he says, thy kingdom come here, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about even the new birth here, although the new birth is involved. See, I was raised up to think in denominations when they teach this, they say, well, he's preaching that the cross happened. The cross is part of God's plan. That's not what they asked him about. They're seeing all the miracles, they're seeing the results, and they're going, would you teach us to pray so that we can have results like that when we pray? He says, well, if that's going to happen, first I got to teach you priority. First off, it's your Father. Second off, he's the only God. You got that? What was Israel's big problem all through the Old Testament? Running off after other gods. What is the New Testament church? The God of success, the God of money, the God of entertainment, the God of whatever. Mammon, for want of a better name. Especially in America. But in other parts of the world, I just saw a documentary on Vietnam right before I come down here. They still, in certain villages, worship fish gods. Build gods made in the shape of a fish and bow down and worship it so they'll have a catch. You know, we think that's all old. You know, that's still going on today. Anyway. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Now that I've explained that thy kingdom come part in that way, where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, isn't it true that the Holy Spirit would have to be involved with you for that to happen? He has to be actively involved with the answer of your prayer. Is that not correct? Do you think he's any less involved with verse 3? Give us day by day our daily bread. Or you could say it this way. Give us day by day the things we need to accomplish your call in our life. In Matthew, he even made it more simple. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need food and you need water and you need clothing. He didn't say it this way, but he's saying he's not a dummy. But don't spend the focus of your life seeking after those things. He says the focus of your life has to be His kingdom, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things will be added to you. I'm not an English major, but I remember enough from school. Added to you, if the way that's worded, all these things shall be added to you. Someone else is doing the adding. If grammar means anything. You are the receiver. Someone else is the adder. Now ultimately it's your Heavenly Father. But the Father doesn't accomplish anything on earth without the agency, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, if we start getting this right, that's why God has already prophesied through Dave. He is about to merge wealth with media. When that media is for the purpose of God's kingdom and not empire building, not ministry building, not even, quote, church growth. Okay, I thank God for Pastor Dave. You just don't know how much I thank God for Pastor Dave. That man is smart. He is witty. He's still attractive. I mean, you know, he's a good-looking guy, you know. Hair's not great, you know, getting so gray like mine. Doesn't have a bald spot like that, you know. Keeps himself in good shape. I mean, you guys know for the 15 years that I've been here, if he would have just changed direction, he'd be rivaling the biggest churches in this town if he was just interested in church growth. Now, him and Tim are smart people. They could get it done, okay. I thank God that he has avoided all of the traps, all of the disappointments, all of the people that goes off and talking ugly after he pours himself into them for 10, 15 years. And he's avoided, and he's still got one mission in mind. Go into God far enough to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. He's not lost sight of the vision. I thank God for a man like that. And I know that purity, don't tell me the Holy Spirit hadn't been watching, and God the Father hadn't been watching, God the Son hadn't been watching. Because the day is coming now, and I believe sooner than later. God's going to, that Holy Spirit, listen, when the Holy Spirit gets involved, well, what happened there? When the Holy Spirit got involved with Jesus' prayer, how quickly was blind eyes open? Like that. I can't snap my fingers like her, but did you hear that? Do it again. Do it again. Boy, she can do that, see? Why do you think if the Holy Spirit gets involved with the finances of the church?
Yes.
Not through manipulation, not through extortion,
yes,
not through half-truths, and which means half-lies, or just blatant outright lies, you know? But with the Holy Spirit goes, I find a purity here where I can get involved.
Yes.
Abundance be. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit prophesied? He's through Dave. He says, I want you to begin speaking against the strongholds of lack and declare an abundance. Let's do it right now. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I speak against the strongholds of lack.
The strongholds of lack.
And I declare an abundance.
And I declare an abundance.
I declare abundance.
I declare abundance.
I declare abundance.
I declare abundance.
Holy Spirit.
Co-labor
with these words.
With these words.
Abundance.
Abundance.
Be.
In Jesus'
name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the kingdom of God. See. For the kingdom. Your needs will get met along the way. It's for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Give us day by day our daily bread. And then, finishing up here, forgive us our sins. I hate to tell you this part, but in certain counseling I'm teasing now, but in certain counseling sessions I've had, some people have actually sinned since they got born again. Oh, me too. No lightning bolts. Do you think that's just talking about before you got, you know, just at the cross? You think He knows that we still stumble and falter and worse? Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. We have something that Adam never had. He didn't have that blood on the mercy seat that he could go back to time again. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here lately, I've been getting a little bit... I mean, that plainly means what it says. You know, one of the most common... When we're doing these prayer lines, and I'm asking people, you know, what do you need? I bet you a third of the time at least. I don't bet, but... I would guess, estimate, roughly, at least a third of the time, I need leadership. I can go this way or I can go this way. I'm thinking about moving, buying a better house or not buy. I mean, it could be anything from anything. I need to know. Notice this word, and lead us. What if we just said, and what if we finished this up, and lead us? The leadership of the Holy Spirit. The enemy's always trying to get you off into temptation. He's always trying to get us by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. There's a real balance. A young lady today came to me right after the service, and she's thinking about buying a house. And I could tell she's actually feeling a little bit guilty because the house she's looking at, some people might think it's a little bit too much. I haven't seen the house. Not, you know. I said, listen, I'm going to give you the address. You know, I have three daughters. I'm going to give you the address of my middle daughter Angie's house that she lived in for about 10 years. And it's okay. Now, I want to give you the address of where she lives now. Okay? Now, they're both okay. Neither one of them is palaces. The one she's in now is a whole lot better than the one she's in before. I said, I can't tell you from just a father's heart. Now, from a father's heart, let's get past the religion for a minute. I am so glad she's in the nicer house than the one she was in before. Now, it's okay. It's, you know, it was okay. She was all right. But just if I had my way, I'd much rather see her in the nicer house. Now, right on the other hand, if her life becomes about houses, in the sense of bigger and better is all I'm after the rest of my life, and that's her whole focus. Now, I'm not happy with that, and neither is our Heavenly Father. Okay? But He knows that we have need of things. I don't think it's His will that we all live in caves. Amen? You know? Hallelujah. Seek ye first. Now, the whole next parable, and I can't teach on that at length, we're out of time. Now, that's the priority part. You know what he's really, in a nutshell, if you go through this next, where he starts talking about the friend who goes for bread at midnight. When your life, part of what will happen to you as you grow, your prayers, you'll find they'll just change. Because his heart is for people. And your whole life will be about getting the bread for those who don't have it. Your whole life will be about opening the blind eyes. Those that don't know Jesus, getting the gospel to them. Your whole life becomes intercession for the lost. He's showing that's really the higher level of maturity. First, if you get your priorities right, thy kingdom come, thy will be. His kingdom is about the lost. It's about His kingdom coming to earth in every way so that the lost can be, just like we say, the lost can be saved. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. The lame will walk. The maimed will be made whole. His kingdom come. And it becomes a life of intercession. Your prayer time becomes about receiving bread for others. And he finishes it up with, don't worry. If you get your priorities right, you want to pray like I want it, you want to see results when you pray like when I pray, don't worry. You get this all straight, He's going to give you that same Holy Spirit. The one that manifests the answer to my prayer, He'll send that same Holy Spirit to exercise dominion so that when you pray, you have the same results.
It makes me
want to go pray. Well, we're going to go do calling in the lost. I want to give you a quick testimony about a calling in the lost. How many of you know who Jim and Kathy Martin are? Jim Martin pastors a church in it's a Beaver Creek, Dayton, Ohio area. And just got a telephone call from him yesterday. Kathy's dad. I want to get the details perfect. I think they told me he was 76. He has been going through chemo. It's some kind of cancer. Of course, but the man has never been saved. She kept ministering to him. He'd come in and out, you know, in the last stages of cancer. His mind would come and go. But whenever he was there, she'd be preaching the gospel to him again, you know. And it's not like they haven't ever done it before, but the man, as far as they know, has never ever received Jesus. Not ever. Finally, he can barely, I think it's lung cancer. I'll make sure on that. But his voice is raspy. You can barely hear it. You got to get down close. She heard him pray these words: Jesus, I love you. Forgive me. And in less than 24 hours, he went on to glory. It is never too late, people. It is never too late. Never too late. Hallelujah. If the thief on the cross made it, that man made it. But I told Jim, I said, I'm glad about that. That's cutting it too close. That's cutting it too close. But thank God he made it. Less than 24 hours. That's cutting it too close. Don't ever give up. Teaching all this about visualization, of course, the New Age has tried to steal half of God's dominion. And they've used it, what we call hope, they call visualization. What we're calling the imagination, you know, they've hijacked it for man to build his own kingdom. Okay? But just because they've done that, we can't throw out half of the dominion process. So as we say these things tonight, and we're going to have to go on like we normally do, but as we say them, do your best to see them. When it says 1,000 people are born again every week, try and see that. When it says the blind see, whoa, is that going to be a day? Is that going to be a day when that starts? I mean, the days of empty seats are over, people. And we got to be dead enough to stand around the walls and let the sinners have the seats and the ones that are sick, you know. Hallelujah. Okay, so see it as much as you can. I don't know why, but this is the third time right here that in this last page or so that he's brought this to my mind. And I hesitate because I don't have the picture with me. Most of y'all know who Ruthie is in Ireland. And they're having a revival. I mean, they are absolutely having a revival over there right now. People are getting saved. So she sent some pictures to Bernard at my house and some others of the baptisms. They're just baptizing, getting them saved and baptizing them in water. And it's just it's a wonderful thing. What they're mainly saying, can you help us with Bibles? So we're helping getting Bibles over there. But this one in particular, I can't remember now if the guy's name is Brent. Might be Brian. Now, he's about my age. He's a real wiry guy, though. Tough guy. You know, just wiry. Tattoos. You could tell this is a rough character. In her description, back when the IRA was in full force with the bombings, this was one of the ringleaders in that. There's no telling how many lives have been taken in the war, what they considered a war. You ought to see him. One of my favorite pictures, coming up out of the water, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now this guy, she said everyone there knows him. Everyone knows this guy. And when he comes in talking about Jesus to all of his friends and all of the people that he's known, they're coming by the droves to get saved. See, that's why we'd rather stop Osama with the gospel than with a bullet. Because look at the multitudes that would wind up coming to Jesus.